pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Tennis Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 4 states. Head to cut.com, that's KUTC.com, and use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Nordic Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your money in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports fan research platform for parlays, player props, and gamblers. Download the app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is currently early Wednesday morning, roughly 1 a.m. Eastern Time on March 27th. I'm your host, as always, Scott Reichel, once again going solo for this pod. Should be a fun episode because it is time to get into the quarterfinals in Miami. We're going to talk about, we are going to be talking about all four matches, but there is a slight caveat, a slight issue. We do not have lines on two of the four matches. I don't know why the Alcaraz-Dimitrov match does not have a line. Zverev just beat Kachanov, so that makes sense why the Morozin and Zverev match upcoming does not have any lines. But for whatever reason, the Alcaraz match doesn't either. So because of that, we do have the lines for the Sinner match and for the Medvedev match. We are going to preview the other two, but a reminder that we do not have lines. So we're going to have to speculate and try to figure out where we think the value might lie. Point is, though, for the sake of this episode, they kind of did a unique scheduling operation there with Miami because they decided to divide the quarters up into 2 days. Why, I don't really know, but you have two quarterfinal matches on Wednesday and then two on Thursday, so it is what it is. But either way, the point is we have lines on two matches. We'll talk about those two first, then get into the Thursday matches, then go from there. Before we get into any of the actual recap of the last episode, I do want to remind everybody to like and subscribe on YouTube. Also, a reminder to rate and review the podcast on Spotify or Apple. I believe we're at 99 subscribers right now on YouTube, so yeah, we're about a month and change in. We're at 99, trying to cross over 100, so hopefully you can help us get there, and then hopefully at some point we get into the thousands. But still, don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube, and we also have not gotten many reviews recently for the Tennis Show on Spotify or Apple, so if you are consuming this through an audio-only, I'd say, platform, then I still recommend, or at least hope, that you rate and review, hopefully 5 stars, but at least, you know, you can be honest about it. Either way, we could use more reviews, so hopefully those end up coming in. Also, a reminder to check out the merch store for the Tennis Gambling Podcast merch. If you do want to support the show, we have shirts, we have mugs, bunch of stuff on the merch store, so check that out. And also, a reminder that we are part of the SGPN network, and they have a bunch of shows, all free, obviously, including the Tennis Show, that's going to really get you all the betting info you need without having to pay for any of that information. But to go into some details here, SGPN is home to 20-plus gambling podcasts, all completely free. And since it is March Madness, this week's featured shows are the Sports Game Podcast, the flagship show, hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stack of the Money Green, where the guys have picked every tournament game, ATS, since 2012. Of course, you have the College Basketball Experience with Kobe, with Ryan, and with Noah, and they continue their unmatched coverage of the college basketball betting. Subscribe today to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience wherever you get your podcasts. But for the sake of the actual last episode, time to dive into the recap, starting off with the lock and dog picks. Overall, we had a really good episode, but unfortunately, I did pick the wrong dog. Did win the lock, though. went back to the large favorite parlay. Did have Medvedev to win in straight sets, parlayed with Sinner to win in straight sets, and that cashed us out at minus 117. Not easy, really, for either guy. Medvedev was in a bit of a hole there, down 4-0 in the tiebreak, but then he dominated from that point forward. Kepfer basically quit immediately in the second set as he got bageled, and Medvedev did win that one in straight sets. As for Sinner, he got out. You'd say that he got out of the gates a little bit flat as he got broken in the first game, but eventually got the break back and ended up breaking again as he won in straight sets. So nice winner there. Unfortunately, though, for the dog, I did say that Jarry was alive, and I did say that I liked his potential moneyline price, but we backed the head-to-head numbers instead. We took the over 2.5 sets at plus 150. Didn't get there. First set went to a breaker. Rude got broken. Jarry's serve was just dominant, simply put, no matter how far back Rude stood on the court. He had a hard time getting back any first serve returns, and Jarry eventually found a way to win that match in straight sets at a pretty nice plus money price. But still, point is, we were on Jarry for the lean, and unfortunately, we did pick the wrong, I'd say, angle for that match for the actual dog pick. But as for the other matches, to quickly recap what happened in the Wednesday round of 16, we're wrong about the Arnaldi match, as I was wrong in that match because I thought that Makic would potentially lose. I thought that line looked a little bit off, mostly trusting Arnaldi, who was a cash cow for us for the event. But unfortunately for us, Makic took care of him easily as he won 6-3, 6-3. Mentioned the Medvedev match already, mentioned the Jarry match already, mentioned the Sinner match already. Dimitrov ended up beating Hurkacz, now 5-0 lifetime, and all the matches have been competitive. Hurkacz just can't solve this guy. It seemed like one of the controversial points came when Hurkacz's foot allegedly touched the net, so he had to forfeit the point despite hitting a put-away volley. I think it was the right call. I think Hurkacz's foot did hit the net, but still, point is that that was kind of, I don't want to say a turning point, but that was an important moment in the match. But Dimitrov was just a bit more solid, and he eventually won the final set via breaker. But to go through, once again, the head-to-head, it is currently 5-0, and four of the five matches have gone to a deciding set. Dimitrov's won all of them. So it just seems like Hurkacz just can't get over the finish line against Dimitrov. Alcaraz beat Musetti. Kind of saw that coming. Musetti was in good form, had a nice win against Shelton, but Alcaraz has completely regained his form. He looks incredible, and Alcaraz was able to beat Musetti pretty easily, 6-3, 6-3. Then you had the surprise of the day to some, not exactly to us. We didn't exactly think that Morozin would win, but we did like him on the games, and we thought that the over 2.5 sets was worth a look. We thought Morozin, who was in great form, really had the game to make life difficult for Dimitrov, and he won. It was a weird match in terms of the scoreline. Did win the first set 6-4. Then he got bageled as Dimitrov won the second set 6-0. And then Morozin completely flipped it and won the third set 6-1. So kind of an interesting final two sets there. But Morozin pulled off the upset. I forgot the exact price he was in that match. I want to say he was around, like, I don't even remember what he was around. Maybe 3-1, give or take. I might be off. You can check the previous podcast. But we did think Morozin was alive, and he ended up getting the job done, as he won in three. And then we thought Zverev would end up beating Kachanov, and he did. Ended up going down a break early in the second set, but came back and won 6-1, 6-4. I like Kachanov. I just thought Zverev was in better form, and I thought Kachanov, despite being in pretty decent form in 2024, it just seems like Zverev's game is a little bit better right now than Kachanov's, and that was the story in the Tuesday match, as Zverev beat him in the round of 16. As for any other takeaways there, don't really have much else to talk about for the sake of the round of 16. Do want to mention a quick tweet that was actually posted by Tsitsipas. I'm sure we're all wondering how focused Tsitsipas is on improving his craft, because he's had an embarrassing 2024, and we've seen his overall ranking slip, his overall level slip, and Badoa's also has not been very good either. For their, I'd say, their overall results ever since they became a couple. Tsitsipas, though, you might be wondering what he's been up to since losing early in this event to Shapovalov. And he tweeted out in the middle of yesterday afternoon, quote, "We put round pizza in a square box and eat it in triangles." Thanks a lot, Tsitsipas. I appreciate that philosophical view on pizza. Maybe you can work on your actual game and you could not embarrass yourself on the court moving forward, but yeah, at least you're having fun. So anyway, that's kind of my overall segue into some other stuff, but don't really have much more to add. Now it is time to actually preview the quarterfinal matches in Miami. But before we get into any of that, do you want to take a quick word from our sponsors? We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet, but directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, plus a ton of social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower VIG and fully customizable odds so you can create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to worry about chasing down your money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And they also have great rewards. Get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. So download Cut today in the App Store or over at Cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. And use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the place to play fantasy sports because it is the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. They have great pick'em games. For example, you can pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in their upcoming games. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. And you can also make rivals picks, which pits 2 players against each other, so you can pick which player you think might have more points, for example, in an NBA game. But a reminder that you should also join Underdog Fantasy because they have a lot of very fun markets for tennis. They have, for example, breaks of serve. They have aces. They have a lot of fun tennis options to make matches more interesting, and I recommend you joining the platform in order to take advantage of those opportunities. So sign up today with promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find them on the App Store, and don't forget to register with the promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 plus and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concern with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished recapping the round of 16 matches that took place on Tuesday. Now it's time to actually preview the quarterfinal matches. A reminder that 2 of the matches will be on Wednesday and the other 2 will be on Thursday. Unfortunately, do not have lines on those Thursday matches. Still going to talk about them, though, and we're going to start off here with the matches we do have lines on taking place on Wednesday. Starting off with the first match on the schedule, you have a matchup between Sinner and Makic, and for this one, Sinner is obviously a massive favorite. Sinner's around minus 1,100 on the money line, while Makic is around plus 700. You have Sinner at around 5 or 5.5 games, 5's at minus 105 and the for Sinner, and it's +5, Makic at minus 115. The over-under set at 20.5 games. The under's juice, though, at minus 116. The over is set at minus 104. If you want the set wagering, you can find Sinner in straight sets at minus 240. Makic to win a set is plus 190, and you can find the over 2.5 sets at plus 250. Now, Sinner has been good in this event. He was on the ropes against Griekspoor, but got the job done. He has not exactly been dominant in terms of spreads, as he has not won a single match here by more than 5 games. So the spread of 5 does feel pretty on point. Now, Makic has been good as well, as Makic ended up winning all 4 matches here so far. Did drop 1 set, the first set to Murray. Only set he's dropped. So he is 8-1 in sets. Of course, I'm not picking Makic to win. I'm not going to make an argument that Sinner is going to lose. Do I think this line's a bit disrespectful, though? I kind of do. I think that Sinner has been good, but he's not been winning by a ton of margin, and Makic does have a powerful serve. His game has translated well to the fast courts in Miami, and I do think that his serve can somewhat neutralize Sinner's return game. Is Sinner going to break a couple of times? Of course. I'm not telling you Sinner's not going to break at all in this match, but do I think that Makic's serve will allow him to keep pace and to maybe force a couple of 6-4s, maybe a breaker in the best case scenario? It's possible. We saw Sinner fall behind a break early against O'Connell in the last match that he played. We saw him, of course, have a couple of 7-5 sets against Griekspoor where they alternated. But still, I think you're looking at Makic being a bit disrespected here. He's not going to win. I'll tell you that right now. But the spread does feel a bit large based on Makic's current form. I am going to go with Makic plus the games here, and I am going to lean to the over. I see 19.5 at minus 150. If you want 20.5, you can find minus 104. I don't mind it. 20.5 might be dicey because I can see a 6'4", 6'4", but I do think you might end up seeing Makhach hang in there a bit more than people expect in route to what should be a straight set loss. Moving on to the next matchup, you're going to look at Medvedev being a massive favorite over Jarry, which should be a fun match. Now, Medvedev is around minus 600 on the money line, where Jarry is around plus 450. Yeah, not exactly the most competitive matches based on the betting odds for Wednesday when you have a minus 1100 favorite and a minus 600 favorite as the only two matches on the card. But Medvedev's minus four for the games, a minus 122. Jarry plus four games is plus 102. Over-under for games, the over under 21.5. The over is minus 125. The under is minus 105. If you want 22, the over is minus 103. The under is minus 117. If you want to go for the actual set wagering, you can get Medvedev to win in straight sets at minus 165. You can get Jarry to win a set at plus 135. Over 2.5 sets is plus 190. Now, I skipped over the head-to-head for the Sinner and Makhach match because there was none. They've never faced off against each other. They have faced off, though, talking about Jarry and Medvedev, so I am going to mention it, was a long time ago, means absolutely nothing, but they did face off in 2019 on clay, and Medvedev did beat Jarry 6-3, 6-4. Once again, means absolutely nothing, but I am going to at least mention it. Now, for the sake of this matchup, do I think Medvedev's going to lose? No. Do I think he's going to cruise? No. I actually think that Jarry can hang in there. Jarry's firepower has been very effective with the fast-paced courts in Miami. Kind of mentioned the same exact logic for Makhach. Jarry, though, was dominant against Ruud with regard to the serve and with the actual forehand that he was unloading. Medvedev, like Ruud, does stand very far back on the court. So Jarry, if he charges the net, can showcase some underrated hand skills, which can give Medvedev some problems. I think Medvedev's going to win, but we've seen him struggle recently, especially in the first set of matches. Almost dropped the first set to Norrie. Almost dropped the first set to Kepfer. Now he's against a much better player than the two of them. Or I should say a much better server than the two of them. Norrie, I think, is the better player. You can argue it's kind of neck and neck with him and Jarry. I think Jarry's definitely better than Kepfer. But the point is, Medvedev has been able to face off against some lefty, weak serve players, and now he's facing off against Jarry. It might take a set or two for Medvedev to fully adjust to the overall pace that Jarry possesses with his elite serve. And I do think that can leave him vulnerable to maybe losing a set. So I think Jarry is actually in line to keep this match interesting. I think there's a couple of ways to take this. You can go with the over if you want to at 21.5 games at minus 125. Maybe the sets over 2.5 at plus 190. Maybe you want to go for Medvedev team total. You can go for the over 12.5 personal games for Medvedev at around minus 155. You can go for 13 games in the team total at plus 120. If you want Jarry team total, you can find 9.5 at minus 115. That one I would not be as into because if Medvedev does win via tiebreak, for example, in a set, I can see Jarry losing 6-3 or 6-2 or whatever. So because of that, I'm maybe not as sold on the Jarry team total as I am on the Medvedev one, especially at 12.5. But I do think Jarry, with his firepower, can make life difficult for Medvedev. He's going to try to shorten the points for better or worse, and I do think his serve will be the, I'd say, ultimate X factor in this matchup. So I am going to lean to Medvedev to win, obviously, but I do think Jarry keeps it competitive. Give me the over in this match, and I do think this has the shot of going three. I don't mind Jarry, though, plus 4.5 games at around minus 140. Moving on to the two matches on Thursday that we once again have no lines on, you have what's probably the match of the tournament up to this point, as you have Alcaraz taking on Dimitrov. Now, Alcaraz is 3-1 in the head-to-head. They did face off in Shanghai, though, last year, and Dimitrov did win in three. So Dimitrov's the most recent winner, but Alcaraz has looked sharp. I am going to point out, though, that only two of the matches that have been out of the four were on hard court, and Dimitrov won the most recent one. Alcaraz won the first one in Paris back in 2022. So not really much to actually, I'd say, take away from the actual head-to-head meetings. So to mention the actual, I'd say, form of both players, Dimitrov's been good. He has not exactly been dominant. Ended up beating Manarino. He beat Moore. He beat Manarino in Indian Wells. Then lost to Medvedev. It happens. Ended up losing 6-4, 6-4. Beat Tabilo in three sets in the first round of Miami. Then killed Hoffman 6-1, 6-0. And then ended up winning a war against Hurkacz, which is pretty par for the course based on their head-to-head history. As for Alcaraz, he has been phenomenal. I think he's been the best player here. I know Sinner has not dropped a set yet, but based on, I know he has dropped a set. So Alcaraz definitely has been the best player here. Beat Baena 6-2, 6-1. Beat Monfils 6-2, 6-4. Beat Musetti, who is in good form, 6-3, 6-3. Dimitrov's been great this year. I'll give him props for that. But Alcaraz, after struggling post Wimbledon last year, has really turned it on again. He's been really, really good. And I just think Dimitrov is not going to be able to hit the ball past him. I think that Alcaraz will be able to extend points, do his classic Alcaraz defense tactics, and I do think that eventually Dimitrov's strokes will break down at least more frequently than Alcaraz's. But it's really tough to pick against Alcaraz right now. He has regained his form and then some. He looks fantastic, and I have a hard time picking against him. Maybe Dimitrov wins a set when you go three sets against the likes of Hurkacz and against the likes of Tabilo. And there is a day off, though, so the 2-hour, 42-minute match against Hurkacz should not affect him physically because there is a day off, so that's not going to be an issue for him. But I just think Alcaraz is too solid. I don't have betting odds, though, so I really have nothing to do with regard to giving out best bets, for example, for this matchup. But I think Alcaraz is going to win, probably in straight sets, maybe a breaker in there, but I really just can't pick against Alcaraz right now. He looks really dialed in, and that's good enough for me. Moving on to the last matchup, the surprise matchup of the quarters. Zverev being here is not a surprise, but Morozin is. Morozin is the Cinderella remaining in this event. It's either him or Jarry, but Jarry does have a couple of ADP titles from last year. So I think we'd all agree Morozin's appearance here is more surprising. Now, Zverev will be a decent favorite because, of course, he's a top five ranked player. He's not dropped a set yet, beat Felix in straight sets, beat Eubanks in straight sets, and beat Kachanov in straight sets on a Tuesday night. As for Morozin, he's only dropped one set, beat Kovacevic 6-3, 6-2, killed Rune 6-1, 6-1, beat Papyrin 7-5, 6-3, and then ended up beating Dimonauer in the Tuesday match in three sets. So for the sake of this matchup, I think Zverev will be a decent favorite. I think you can argue the value might be on Morozin. Now, do I think he's going to win this match? I do not. I think Zverev's going to win. I think the road is going to end here. There's no head-to-head data, so I can't really draw from anything. But I do think that Zverev is just in better form. Morozin has played really good tennis, but Zverev has beaten some good competition in straight sets. Felix, I'm not saying he's a good player at this point in his career, or at least based on his current form. He's been better recently, but still not exactly good. Beat him in straight sets, and you're going through the actual opponents. Beating Kachanov 6-1, 6-4 is pretty impressive. I think Zverev's in great form. Can Morozin win a set? Sure. Do I think he's going to win the match? No. So I think that Zverev's going to win. Maybe you can consider an over, or maybe Morozin plus the games, but at the end of the day, I think Zverev will be too solid. I think that his form has been really tough to ignore in this event. And even Eubanks, who I'm not a big fan of, the serve is still dangerous in Miami. So he's beaten some good servers, beaten some good players, and Morozin, I don't want to say had a weak path because we know Rune is a good player based on ranking. We know he's a head case, but Kovacevic is okay at best. Papyrin's fine, but the point is I do think that Zverev has faced off against better competition. I know Dimonauer is still a very good win for Morozin, but Zverev has been consistently dominant against really just overall good players. And I think that based on that, Zverev will get the job done, as I think he wins potentially in a competitive two sets or in three sets. That's going to wrap it up, though, for the actual preview of the quarterfinals. Now it's time to get into the lock and dog picks for the show. But before we get into any of that, do want to take a quick word once again from our sponsors. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger, betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets. Sports analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary prop optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet, torn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop banging in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished previewing the quarterfinal matches in Miami. Now it is time for the lock and dog picks. A reminder, we do not have lines on the Thursday matches, so I could not pick anything for lock and dog, options with those two matches. So because of that, we are kind of forced to pick between two matches, and I do think that we found a couple of plays that have some value to it. For my lock, I did shop around. I am going to go back to that Sinner and Makic match. I am going to hold my nose and fade Sinner. I'm going to take Makic plus the 5.5 at minus 140, chop around. But Sinner's been good, not overly dominant in this event. He has not covered this spread in each of the last four matches, including the matchup that he lost against Alcaraz in Indian Wells. So that's, I don't know if I could actually use that, but still, the point is each of the first three matches here in Miami, Sinner has won, but not covered. He's landed on five a couple of times, so I actually do want the extra half at minus 140. And Makic has been good. He's only dropped one set here in four matches combined. So 8-1 in sets for Makic. I'm not picking him to win a set against Sinner, but I do think his serve can maybe force a breaker, maybe force a couple of close sets. But 5.5 games based on Sinner's current form in Miami just feels a little bit large. And I do think that Makic's current form is still being slept on. I'm not picking him to win, but I think that he can keep it close. He might lose 6-4, 6-3. Maybe 6-4, 6-4. Good enough for me. That's a cover. Give me Makic plus 5.5 at minus 140 as my lock. For my dog, I am going to go to a bit of a niche play in the Jari and Medvedev match. I mentioned it might be close. I mentioned that I might like the over. I am going to go to a pretty nice over price in the first set. I am going to go with the over 10.5 games in the first set at plus 200. Couple reasons for it. Medvedev's actually been involved in a couple of marathon first sets recently because three of Medvedev's last four matches have had at least 12 games in the first set, including each of his last two matches in Miami, 7-5 against Norrie and 7-6 against Kempfer. So I do think that you might end up seeing Medvedev struggle early on with his returning, and Jari has been involved in a lot of first set marathons as well because each of Jari's first three matches in Miami have had a tiebreaker in the first set. So both guys check off the box of having long first sets. I think Jari's serve can give Medvedev problems, especially based on how far back Medvedev stands with his returning position. And I do think that Medvedev's a good server as well. We know Jari's own forced error issues, but I do think over 10.5 games at plus 200, when both guys have been involved in a lot of long sets recently in Miami, I like the price a lot. If you want to go for breaker, you can. It would not shock me, though, if it landed 7-5, because I know that we have seen a couple of 7-5 sets for both guys recently. But for me, give me the over in the first set. I think there's some value on it, and I am going to take it at a 2-1 price. So once again, my picks for the show, the lock's going to be on Makic. Hold my nose there and take the plus 5 against Sinner at minus 140. For my dog, though, I am going to go with the Jari and Medvedev first set. Over 10.5 games at plus 200. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. A reminder, next episode we'll cover the semifinals in Miami, but you have quarterfinal matches on Thursday, so we are going to be not recording on Wednesday. We're going to have a day off. So just a reminder there for the schedule. Other than that, though, find me on Twitter, at Rice Show Radio, as you can see here. Find me on the NBA show, the MLB show. MLB starts in about a day or two, so keep an eye out for that. I will be on the MLB show a couple of times per week. And until next time, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.